The NRL physio says the real crisis in 2025 isn't hamstrings, it's infections. And while that might surprise some, the deeper cause shouldn't. Emotional and psychological stress weaken the immune system, making players more vulnerable to illness and even reinfection. In this episode, we'll unpack the science behind the stress-infection link, why depressive symptoms can keep you stuck in a cycle of sickness, and what you can do to protect your health and performance, whether you're on the field or off it. I'm Ian Hawkins, and this is Sport is Life. The purpose of sport, as I see it, is to see your vision become a reality, find your voice, create strong connections, and learn to trust your body. In the aftermath of the Broncos triple hamstring injury debacle last week, the NRL physio, I don't know if you guys follow him, but he basically reports on all things injuries in the NRL, and he gets information from a whole lot of different sources, but he also makes assessments based on what he saw from the actual injury as it happened. Really fascinating stuff. But he said everyone's focusing on the hamstring injuries when the infections are the real crisis of 2025. And he's mentioned this countless times. He said it's like an epidemic. There's lots of soft tissue injuries, but it's all about the infections that are coming up out of nowhere. And like he said, in all the years following rugby league, I've never seen so many infections. So let's talk about infections. He was talking a lot about staph infections, which is basically you might be in hospitalized or have something going on, and then you have a secondary infection on top of that. So let's talk about what causes infections. And as always, there's a physical aspect, but I'm going to come from the mental and the emotional aspect. From all reports is that infections happen when there is stress, emotional stress, psychological stress. So these sports people playing at the highest level, their physical bodies are so highly tuned and they do so much work there, but they're still only scratching the surface of what's possible from a mental and emotional perspective. The pressure they get from so many different angles, some of them have huge amount of pressure from family around expectations. The work I've done with sports parents is that sometimes even with older young sports people, so I'm talking about 20s, there's still inadvertently pressure coming from parents, not intentionally, but just by sometimes how they say things, what they say, sometimes when they don't say anything. There's also the stress of results. There's the stress of trying to stay in the team if they're on the fringe. It's all of the social media. It's the attacks they get in all areas of media. It's there's so many different things that are going to have an impact on them emotionally and psychologically. And really interesting, there's a specific article I read here on infections, an actual study they did, and they were saying how there was an increase in hospital stay for those that were feeling stressed compared to some of the patients who were less anxious. They were finding they were healing quicker and getting out quickly. But then even deeper, there's another link for infections, and that's depression. And patients who experienced more depressive symptoms were more likely to be re-hospitalized for infection-related complications. So not just having slowing of the healing, not just having infections happening not long after they'd had a surgery, or a lot of the footballers are having boils that are getting infected, but then they were re-hospitalized for further infections from these people that were experiencing depressive symptoms. So not necessarily saying they had depression, but depressive symptoms. And again, despite so much good work being done, how many men still cover that up? I mean, there was a couple of years ago a spate of suicides from young footballers coming through. We've seen in the AFL they're still having that problem. And the name's going to escape me now, but the two brothers that within 6 months of each other took their own life. So there's a lot of this sort of thing happening. So if this is what's going on in the NRL, there's a huge increase in infections, then it makes sense that there has been an increase, if that's possible, in the level of stress that the players are experiencing from an emotional perspective, from a psychological perspective, how many of them are even having depressive symptoms. All of these things weaken the immune system. The weaker your immune system is, the longer it takes you to heal, and the more prone you are to infection and secondary infections. So what do we do about it? So the good thing is that these sporting codes are now putting things in place to make sure that there are steps in place to monitor well-being. And that was part of the work I did at the Bulldogs back in 2020, was doing an audit of their well-being setup. And they were doing so many things at a very high level, and they still continue to do so. The guy there, Luke, is doing a fantastic job, and a couple of the staff as well, if they are still there. But the thing that I noticed was that they still had so many more levels they could go to, which is exciting, because there's so much of an upside. And a lot of this is the things that you learn in a personal development space that aren't really the norm there. I was having this conversation with another coach just recently, and I just remember when I started learning from guys like Jim Rohn, who's like, you know, he was the mentor for Tony Robbins. You'd be familiar with the name Tony Robbins. Well, his mentor, Jim Rohn, that's someone I listened to again and again. But when I first was introduced to him, I was like, where has this stuff been my whole life? Like, I just can't imagine how much better life could have been if I'd been exposed to this earlier than my late 30s. So that, again, this is the opportunity for these sporting codes, is to deal with the psychological stress, the emotional stress. Mental health's a big one. Emotional health is the next level. Still, we see men discouraged, whether that's directly or indirectly, from showing emotions. It's, you know, there's a lot of good work being done about opening up, and it's really good to see, but there's still a lot of stigma, and there's still a reluctance to do it. Still, men are reluctant to show their emotions, apart from anger and frustration, of course, and how many of them are suppressing. I did it for years and years and years. There are still times I catch myself now. I talk to people all the time. It's no surprise. Like, I've spoken to my mum. She said not only were showing your emotions wasn't sort of the done thing, she said she was actively discouraged by her parents. Now, the next generation, they tend to pass on a lot of these things until there's a circuit breaker. And so a lot of these young footballers are growing up with the same sort of messages. No one's doing it deliberately. No one's doing it to be vindictive or negative. It's just repeated patterns. I mean, how many times have you uttered the words to your own children, or have you heard it from your parents, which is, don't be upset, don't be angry, don't cry? Not because we're trying to suppress emotions, but because we don't like seeing people in a state when they don't need to be. But it's the wrong message, because you feel how you feel. There's other ways you can tackle that situation, and mostly it's just giving people a safe space that they can feel that they can express those emotions. So for those working in the football in the high performance football space, in whatever code it is, or maybe you're in another sport, cricket, golf, whatever it is. It's not just treating the infection, but it's treating what is the underlying cause. What is the emotional and psychological stress? Where are these footballers stressed? And it's rarely football. It's most of the time it is things going on in their personal life. So how can we dig a bit deeper there? How can we provide even greater support to not just change their behavior, but help change family behavior? Because that to me is the next level. When I'm working with a young athlete, I always do some work with the parents, because I know if you work with a young person and then throw them back into the same environment without any change, then the same patterns tend to come back. There's an improvement, but the best outcomes come when you can help everyone get on the same page. And you hear it all the time, gifted athletes and sports people thanking their family. What if they could build even greater bonds, ones where there's not the emotional stress, ones where there's not the depressive symptoms, ones where you're free from infection? This is the opportunity for the NRL and for all of these professional sporting codes. You've taken the time to listen to this whole episode. Now it's time to take action. Commit to one thing you've learned today and make it happen. And to avoid any obstructions, join the Sport is Life movement by clicking on the link in the show notes.